Blog Talk Radio.
Necessarily something that you have to do, but we're going to get into it tonight, and we're going to use some examples to where we can ask the question about maybe people that we are aware of have had to how they have probably dealt with the situations that we're going to speak about tonight. So let's get into it. All right, so tonight we're talking about risking your mental state of mind. And I'm going to start it off with the example of being in a musical band. You know, when you start off in a musical band, when you're younger and you have these ambitions about show business and you really want to make it, you believe in your talent, you believe in the talent of your brothers or your sisters or whoever your bandmates are, you see how good everybody is, you see how well-oiled machine y'all are, how well put together y'all are. Y'all just all seem to complement each other. Maybe none of y'all are strung out on drugs or have any other vices that are taking away from the accomplishments that this group is capable of. But you just may feel like you're the best one in the group, or that you have grown in this capacity as far as you can go. So maybe you want to leave the group at some point. But you might not want to leave the group emotionally. Like, they're still your boys. They're still your girls. They're still your family. But you just want to do this solo thing. Test, you know, get your feet wet. Test the market out there. Not have to split the money in different ways, plus get a chance to express yourself and your vision and put your talents out there the way that you envision really being an artist. You want to put your artistry out there. So we know of artists, singers, bandmates, players, performers. We know of a bunch of them who have left bands who were where the bands were great, and they left to pursue solo careers. And I've always wondered, like, I wonder what led up to them leaving. You know, a lot of times they'll put it out there, the publicist will put it out there that it was an amicable split. But if you know that you were the backbone behind your group and you left your group because maybe your group wasn't getting along, maybe they weren't getting along because they didn't really want to cooperate, and you were the ones that was always trying to, you know, keep the group together, or it was all your ideas. You wrote all the songs. You composed all the music. You were the one. You even acted as a road manager. You kept everybody in place when they wanted to just go off and get high and party and act crazy and be young and wild and free and risk all of the success that y'all were capable of reaching. So you said, look, enough is enough. Why should I manage, if you take it all the way back to like the 60s and the 70s, well, more like the 70s. I don't know how big bands were in the 60s, but as far as funk bands, soul bands, those bands were pretty big in the 70s. You know, those funk bands, you know, you had Funkadelics, Parliament, which was the same band, but a couple of different members changing in and out. The same people on two different labels. It was a very interesting situation. You take Confunction, you take Fatback, you take BT Express, you take Average White Band, you take KC and the Sunshine Band, you take LTD, you take the Bar Kays, Get it, Mandrill. All of these bands were big. They had a lot of members. We're talking about no less than 7 members. So you got 7 to 11 bandmates. Trying to manage them and be an artist was probably hard. So I wonder about people like Jeffrey Osborne. Jeffrey Osborne left LTD. Now, it's my opinion that the songs and the soul of LTD was better than Jeffrey Osborne on his own. But Jeffrey Osborne didn't have to split the pay up 10 ways. I think LTD had about at least 9 members. Let me see. Members were in the original group LTD. Damn. Originally, it was only 3. All right, it should, and none of them was. Wait a minute now. Okay, it might have started off with 3. From Greensboro, North Carolina. But, wow, they got a lot of past members, man. Well, what I think is interesting is that they don't even, when they say members, they say Arthur Lorenzo Carnegie, John McGee, Carl Wayne Vickers, Aya Iwata, Tefer Hazy, Treasure Mark Vincent Brown, Steve Toussaint, Herbert Lee Woods. Now, when it says past members, Abraham Onion Miller, deceased, Henry E. Davis, deceased, Billy Osborne, Jeffrey Osborne, Jake Riley, deceased, Melvin Webb, deceased, Alvino Bennett, Leslie Wilson, Andre Ray, Celeste Cole, Toby Wynn, Robert Santiel, Tyrone Griffin, Richard Moorings, Kermit Singleton, Howard Johnson, and Conway Johnson PMC. Well, all I know is when you look at one of the LTD albums, and I know we had at least three of them, there were at least nine members on there. So however you break these members up, I just wonder how much thought or what were the events leading up to Jeffrey Osborne saying, listen, I'm leaving the group. I'm pursuing a solo career. What had to happen? Was there any guilt associated with that? Was it a situation where he was like, dang, man, you know, I want to go off and do this thing on my own, but I also still want to be part of the band. I still want to tour with the band. I still want to be with the guys. I still want to make magic and history with them as the greatest band. Because Jeffrey Osborne had a good solo career. Still to this day, he still has a great solo career. But those songs when he was with LTD were better, in my opinion. Same thing with Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie had a spectacular solo career. I think he wrote all the songs for the Commodores anyway. If he didn't write all of them, his influence was definitely there, high. You know what I mean? Was there tension in the group before he left the Commodores? You know, that's another situation where I think that the songs that he did with the Commodores were way better than the ones that he did solo, even though his solo career was way more successful than Commodores. So it's a judgment. But my real concern is, what was the mental state? What were the risks of his mental state, both of them? And we can, you know, you can take whatever group member who went solo and insert them. You know, if you want to take Beyonce, from what we know about Beyonce, he probably never wanted to really be in a group. She only entered the group in order to go solo. You know what I mean? You know, that's the way it seems like Beyonce. That's the type of person that Beyonce is. So I don't think that she risks her mental state leaving the group. But other group members that have gone solo may have felt some guilt when they left their group. Some band members, group members that have left groups have gone back to those groups. They went back to those groups because, you know, life on the road, out there as a soloist, sometimes it started off really well and they went back. Like David Lee Roth with Van Halen. A lot of people thought that Van Halen was David Lee Roth. He was the lead singer. He was very expressive. You know what I mean? He was the voice of Van Halen. Yeah, all this guitar stuff, that was cool for enthusiasts. But for people who listen to the radio and buy records, they wanted to hear David Lee Roth. And when he left to pursue a solo career, and they put Sammy Hagar as the lead singer in Van Halen, it didn't work out so well. David Lee Roth wound up coming back. Did he come back because things were rough? Did he come back because it was like, I should have never left in the first place? And I knew that when I left, it was going to be different, because the name of the band was Van Halen. It was not David Lee Roth. So when I had to start out like I was new. People knew and associated me with Van Halen. So eventually I had to go back to Van Halen. I think David Lee Roth's biggest hit was California Girls? A Beach Boys remake? You know? For my rock music fans, you know what I mean? You can't put that song up against "Girl, You Really Got Me Now, You Got Me So." You can't put that up. Okay, so you know. But in your own life, you know, piggybacking off of people who have left groups, and they probably had to do a lot of mental wrangling in order to make the decision to leave a musical group. In your own life, have you ever had to end a relationship with somebody and you knew that the guilt that was associated with you separating from them, leaving them, divorcing them, breaking away from them, even if it was to do something better? Sometimes the thought of leaving somebody behind to fend for themselves when you were their protector, you were their rock, you were their right hand, you were maybe the person who kept their mental state intact. You kept them from going over the edge. You were their physical Prozac. You were the Prozac that kept them from slipping into darkness. But you got this opportunity over here, and you got to do what you got to do. And what about if you're not all the way together? What if you have vices? What if you have addictions? What if you have problems? And so you know how it is when you are in your addictive state. You are overconfident, thinking that you can make it on your own, that you can do this by yourself and all of that kind of stuff. You know? And you may be able to do it for a certain amount of time because you got the skills. But you know deep down in your heart, it's going to be tough for you to really get it popping by yourself, because that's not the type of person that you are. People have left their families, you know, saying things like, well, you know, they never looked out for me, they never cared about me and all of that. And a lot of people be lying. And sometimes the guilt of lying about something that you have done just so you can have something better, sometimes it can get to you. Sometimes it's just not the best situation for you. So that guilt can kick in, and you know, you risking your mental state of mind. Shoot, marriages, relationships, friendships. But let's keep talking about business, whether we're talking about show business or not. We can get into the relationships thing in a minute, but let's talk about business for a while. You know, there are people who stay on jobs for decades. Let's say you've been working on your job for 20 years. Okay. You kind of have done everything at your job, at this job, that you could possibly do. It's really time for you to move on. It is. It's time for you to move on. But mentally, you're not really ready to go. But there's an opportunity out there. A great opportunity out there that is just waiting for you. It's being primed and being readied for you. It's being prepared for you. They're setting the table for you. It's like, come on over here and do your thing. But this job that you've been working on for 20 years, this is where all your friendships have come from. It's damn near where all your relationships have come from. You done had kids on this job. Everybody at this job knows your kids. You damn near gave birth at this job. You may have even conceived that. Listen, it is what it is. This has been your job and your home for 20 years. And now it's time for you to make a whole lot more money. But change is necessary, but it's hard. Change is hard on your mental state. It's very, very hard on your mental state. The goal of every, mentally and emotionally, the goal of every living thing is to get comfortable, feel protected, safe in any environment. So whenever you leave a place that you have made comfortable for yourself time after time after time, you know, the longer you're on a job, the more you learn about the job, about what you can do, what you can get away with, what is going to hurt you. You know, the longer people on the job, the longer people stay on the job, you hear them talk about things like, the only way you're going to get fired around here is if you do this or if you do that. Only people who have been working there for a long time talk like that. New people who come in there, they be trying to watch their P's and Q's. Or if they're reckless, they'll listen to all of the people who get in trouble all the time, and they'll listen to them tell them what they can and can't do or what can't be done to them if they get in trouble. But the people who have been there for a long time, they know. They have formed relationships with people. They know how to get out of any and every situation. So they know where to go, how far they can go, and when to draw the line and stop right there. Like, wow. Yeah, don't go any farther than this line, and you'll be okay. You go to another job, when you go to another situation where you have to deal with new people and new expectations, you got to learn, you got to relearn all of that stuff. You got to find a way to get comfortable. You got to find your niche. It can take years. So you might be thinking about leaving this job that you've been at for 20 years for another job that's going to pay you, let's say, $10,000, maybe even $15,000 more a year. Maybe even more. Maybe you have given the job that you have worked on for 20 years, maybe you have given them the opportunity to match in some way where the other opportunity lies for you. And maybe they told you they couldn't do it. Yo, man, we love you to death. Or, man, girl, we really want you to stay, but we just can't afford to pay you that much. And the position that they're going to give you is not one that's available here. So as much as we really, like, the most we can do, the best that we can do is this. But we can't expect you to stay for this when you have this. So, I mean, we're just going to have to wish you the best. And you can always come back home. As a matter of fact, we're going to keep your room intact. We ain't going to put nobody in your cubicle. We're going to retire your cubicle until you come back. And hopefully you never have to come back because you do so well out there. You retire over there and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, we all have each other's number. We're going to get together. Anyway, so you're going to this new situation and change. Having to learn new people, learn a new system, actually learn a new job. Sometimes when you get to a new job, even if it's something that you've already done before, sometimes the way that that job may do it or the way that they want it may take you a while to get a grasp of. And you start wondering if you're really smart enough or good enough to do this job. You get to thinking like, well, the last person that had this job, how did they do it? How did they maintain? And how did they get by? And what did they do? Why did they get fired? Why did they leave? You get to thinking like, ugh. I wouldn't have to worry about this if I would have just stayed at my other job. I was doing good. I was going to get my pension soon. My retirement was coming through, my 401k. I was going to be set for life anyway, and now I done risked all of that. You're not only risking your financial position, but you're also risking your mental state. Anxiety, fear, the fear of starting over. You know, the fear of starting over is the thing that keeps people in bad marriages and relationships for years. Some people, it keeps them in those positions and in those relationships for decades. Scared to start all over. Women, at least he might have cheating dick, but I know his cheating dick. I even know when his dick is cheating. Men, yeah, she nags me. I think that she be messing around on me sometimes or whatever, whatever, whatever. But she is the mother of my kids and my wife. And, you know, we supposed to stick it out till death was part. And I do love her and blah, blah, blah. It ain't like she don't never give me nothing. Everybody has their problems. Change can cause a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of unrest, a lot of uncomfortable days. But we got to change. So when it comes time for you to risk having to deal with that change, having to deal with that, with those problems, having to deal with that, with that mental state that you're going to have to make that adjustment to? Will you be able to do it? Are you equipped for it? Are you ready? Are you ready? Standing in this corner, file clerk in the mailroom, 20 years and counting, 4 children at home, 1 failed marriage, 3 relationships long term, earning top salary in the department, has the respect of all of the company, has had accolades, has even traveled to seminars where the company has invited her. Now she is contemplating leaving the company, pursuing a better career, more rewards, greater salary, benefits, freedom, financial stability. Will she be able to live up to the challenge of being able to make this change? New employees, new employers, new situations, no guarantees, startup company, not proven in the industry. More money. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get ready to rumble. Okay. Anyway, it can be scary. It can be scary. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this is the Daily. Go get a business show. Yeah. If y'all would like to call into the show, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your